Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scair, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. The angel comes to Mary with an announcement. Now, we've all seen these before. Especially in the age of social media, it's becoming commonplace for a young couple to post the sonogram of the baby. They'll say, or they'll post a cute picture of themselves with maybe a little shadow of a baby saying, "We're expecting," right? Well, in this case, it's not Mary who announces that she's expecting. But it is the visitor, the angel, who tells her that she is expecting. She doesn't know first. The father knows first, and the father has sent his messenger to make the announcement to the virgin. And all through, she remains a virgin. This is 9 months in advance of Christmas, March the 25th. The church tomorrow will be celebrating the so-called Annunciation of our Lord. We make a huge deal out of the birth. Why don't we make as big, if not bigger, deal of the Annunciation on March 25th? Dr. Peter Scair is our guest. He's Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Peter, welcome back.
Yeah, glad to be with you, Todd.
Why does the church just blow out all the stops for Christmas? But here we are on the eve of March 25th, and there are no trees, no decorations, no nothing. A lot of Christians will let the day pass completely unaware of the conception of our Lord.
Yeah, it's a good question. And maybe we need to rethink what we're doing a little bit, because Christmas is a great day. And it's hard to beat the day of our Lord's birth. It's kind of his entrance into the world. On the other hand, you could say, you know, Christmas in some ways has become almost forgotten in our culture, in the sense that it's been taken over by so many other things. And the Annunciation might just be the holiday for our time, which is to say, I mean, the more we know about human life, the more we celebrate conception through looking at ultrasounds, I think. And when you look at our culture today, maybe the Annunciation really, as we think about this, might actually be the bigger day, because while we could call the Annunciation, maybe it's Incarnation Day. And the Christian church has always held there to be two great mysteries. The one is the mystery of the Trinity, one God in three persons, and then the mystery of the Incarnation, how God, who is above all things and fills all things, yet comes down to us in human form. And he doesn't do so simply at the birth, but he comes at the beginning of life itself. And that's the miracle, that that he comes in the form of a zygote, that he comes in the tiniest of human beings. From very the beginning of conception, 9 months, he enters into the womb of Mary, taking the flesh of Mary and becoming one of us. And this is, having heard the great Dr. Lamb talk about the pro-life movement in the Lutheran Church, I'm inspired, because There could be no greater pro-life holiday, holy day, than the Annunciation, which marks the incarnation, God taking our flesh and entering into our lives.
Before we get into the text of Luke's account of this, perhaps a word of warning. We are talking here about a singular event in all of creation and human history. We are talking about a conception that is, I guess we'd say, biologically unlike any that has ever occurred, aren't we?
Yeah, I mean, this is a great miracle, but it's instructive. This is he is born not from the will of man, but by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a new creation, but so there are two things going on. This is not like Genesis, though, a creation ex nihilo, a creation from nothing at all. And that's also part of the marvel, I suppose, of the Annunciation, is that God simply doesn't create something completely new out of nothing, but he enters into the womb of Mary from the flesh of Mary. So this is both taking that which is old, but making it entirely new. And the Old Testament is full of miraculous births. I mean, we've been prepared for this. We know that ultimately God is the giver of all good things, and he's the creator of life. And through the joining together of men and women throughout the ages, he has continued his act of creation, and we're part of that. But with Mary, we have something special and a miracle that show with God all things are possible.
I like the way that Luke begins the account in the 26th verse there of his first chapter, where it's kind of, you see the bullseye and you zoom in on the center of the bullseye, and there's little Mary standing there. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. What do you make of how Luke introduces the mother of our Lord?
Well, he introduces first, I suppose, by letting us, he's already introduced to us the persons of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and the birth of John the Baptist was foretold to Zechariah. And now Zechariah was a priest. He served in the temple, and he was even burning incense in front of the Holy of Holies, the holy place. So that's where we expect, I suppose, angels to come, to the temple, which is God's home in Jerusalem. But now we have, but that's simply the preliminary, that's simply the appetizer, or that's the first miracle which prepares us for the greater miracle. Now the angel Gabriel comes into a town of Galilee, which is, I mean, it's not where God's dwelling place is. This is up north, the Sea of Galilee, but to a town by the name of Nazareth. Now Nazareth, we know that Jesus will be called a Nazarene from the Gospel of Matthew, but Nazareth is an ordinary place. Nazareth is an out-of-the-way place. It's not what we would expect from where we would expect royalty to come, and yet it's precisely here that the angel comes to a virgin by the name of Mary. So you have a wonderful kind of contrast. Two women of piety we meet here, Elizabeth, who is older, but now to this young Mary, who is simply betrothed to David. And it's through this line, this younger woman, that salvation will come.
So the contrast between the same angel coming to an elderly couple, the bustling center of the spiritual center of God's people there, you can't get any closer to the center unless he had gone into the Holy of Holies to a couple who had been trying their whole lives to have a child, contrasted with this girl who's kind of off the grid, so to speak, not on anybody's Rolodex, and she is never tried to have a baby.
You know, right, and you know that's a good way of putting it, off the grid, because this anticipates a kind of a new reality for the church. I mean, we say oftentimes that Mary represents the church as a bride or as a mother or as the new Eve of creation. But it also represents, I think, when you look at the story of God's new dwelling place on earth, which is, you know, like the tabernacle itself in the Old Testament, The tabernacle was simply, you know, it was in the tent. It was a tent where God met his people, as opposed to the grandeur, I suppose, of the temple that was built in Jerusalem. But now there's something different happening apart from the temple, and already we are anticipating here what Stephen will say in his sermon in Acts, I guess, chapter 6 or 7, where he says, God does not dwell in a temple made of hands, which is to say that we're anticipating now an age in which Christ will be with us wherever we are throughout the world, as he's with us in his word and in his sacrament, in baptism and Holy Communion. So he is beginning something new and different here. And the presence of God shifts, in a sense, from the temple to the person of Christ and wherever Christ might be. And now God is making his dwelling in the womb of Mary. So it really is remarkable to think of Zechariah entering into the presence of God in the temple, but now the presence of God is entering into, in a kind of a reverse fashion, into Mary herself, and also anticipates how God will make his dwelling also among us.
Dr. Peter Scare is our guest. We're talking about the Annunciation of our Lord that the Church observes tomorrow on March 25th. He's Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. When we come back, the nature of this greeting, favored one, the Lord is with you. We'll be right back.
Bible isn't about you, it's about what Jesus has done for you.
Chris Roseborough talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
I'm going to take 3 to 4 of the most popular misquoted evangelical proof texts and demonstrate from the texts themselves that if you read yourself into them, you not only miss the point, you miss the comfort of the cross. And so I'm going to tell you the better story that these texts actually tell you when you put them back into context.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case against me-centered, misquoted scriptures June 13th and 14th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Apostles Lutheran Church is in Melrose Park, Illinois. We invite you to our divine service, which is held every Sunday at 9:15. Please contact us at 847-455-0903 or check out our website at apostlesmelrosepark.org. We are located just south of O'Hare Airport, where airplanes are continually going up. Here at Apostles, we glory in the one who on the cross was lifted up for the sins of the world.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The Gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the Gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It is the greatest adventure you could ever possibly imagine. It's demanding, it's hard, it's challenging, and what a blessing it is.
Dr. Larry Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on why a man should consider the vocation of pastor.
And it is an incredible blessing to be honored with the opportunity to work with these incredible young men and older men as well, who are committing themselves to the proclamation of God's Word, the right distinction of law and gospel, and to take the good news of Jesus Christ into all the world.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, forming servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Peter Scare is our guest on this Monday afternoon, March the 24th, in anticipation of the Annunciation of our Lord celebrated by the Church tomorrow. We are talking about Luke chapter 1, the actual announcement. It begins, Dr. Scare, with this greeting that puzzles the Virgin. O favored one, the Lord is with you. What would you say of those words?
Yeah, this is the favored one. It's worth making, a Lutheran point here. Is that we don't generally say, you know, Hail Mary, full of grace, which is a kind of an idea in which Mary is both the one who receives grace as if it were kind of a liquid, and then she becomes the dispenser of grace, so that we pray not to Mary, but to Christ for his favor. And she has received favor. She has received a great honor that she is the she is the Eve of a new creation. And she will be the mother of, she is becoming the mother of our Lord, and even the mother of God's Son, of the mother of the bearer of God. So this is a great honor in all of history that the Lord would choose her. So she is the favored, she is the favored one by God. And this phrase that the Lord is with you is beautiful, because it captures the Christian life and what God has come to do. That God has come not only to save us, of course he has come to save us in Christ Jesus, but he's come also to save us in order to be with us. So the God who, you know, because of sin there's division between God and man, because of sin there's enmity between God and man, and you can think about the division between Eve and Adam and between Adam and Eve and God, that division is going, those walls of division are now going to crumble. They're going to be taken down by Christ, who has made his home now with us. And it begins. It begins with the person of Mary. And this is the beginning of the promise. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And now here to Mary, it begins. And the angel says, Hail Mary, you have been favored for precisely because the Lord is with you. And he's with you in a way that's full of grace, in a way that no harm comes to her, that no danger comes to her, but instead she's graced with a baby boy.
So he is with us precisely in this, in the way, well, as I've often, I'm fond of saying, not only at Christmas time, but he the path of the cross begins in the Virgin's womb. He takes the path of the Virgin's womb to the cross. This is precisely how he is going to be with us as well.
Yeah, he takes it through the Virgin's womb, and he still remains with us today. This is the beginning, but now Christ makes his home among us, and this is where he wants to be. This is the same Lord who, before Adam and Eve fell into sin, would walk in the cool of the garden in the evening, however mysterious that was in Genesis, but it's a Lord who wants to be with his people, and it all begins here in a zygote, in the very beginning of life.
That would cast this, or perhaps we shouldn't put it that way, should we see the sacramental overtones of Luke's account here?
Well, I think in a sense we live this out in the Christian life. Here she receives a gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit is that which gives life. Now, Mary does in a special way. But it reminds us of creation, in which God breathed into man, and man became a living soul, that the Spirit is that which animates us. God's Spirit is that which gives us life. God's Spirit is the breath by which we call out and say, Abba, Father, and declare Christ as Lord. So the Spirit is life, and this is the gift, the beginning of that, the gift of life. So it's the reception of the Spirit. And it's also reception of the presence of Christ. for Mary in a special way in the baby body of our Lord. But also I think we can look to Holy Communion, where we receive the body and blood of our Lord, and we can be assured of his presence. I mean, it's a wonderful gift to know that Psalm 23 has come true among us, that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, because now he's with me, even though, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And the Lord now will be with Mary, and because he is with Mary, he will also now be with us. And this is the presence, this is the presence of Christ, which we celebrate when we come to the divine service on Sunday morning.
So this is of one cloth, the Annunciation. This is of one cloth with, you said, I am with you always, but also with Christ's institution of the Lord's Supper, even as it is we do this in remembrance of him today.
Yeah, and this is the blessing of the Word. Mary was startled at the Word, but now the Word is the Word made flesh, and the Word now dwells in Mary bodily. And also we hear the words in the worship service ourselves, and we receive grace. We are favored, we are forgiven, and we know that the Lord is with us.
There is also something here to be seen, and you alluded to this early in our conversation, that this becomes the template for how Christians ought to view all life in the womb. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of been studying this and the way Christians have thought about life, and there's a tendency maybe to think about the fetus developing later on as the weeks, as it gets fingers and toes. But this holiday is a wonderful reminder that life begins at conception, that there's no great change. I mean, this is all developmental. A child at one day is a child at 2 days, and after 9 months, then we're born into the world. But it's the same child, and this is important, I think, as we think about the pro-life issue, because it's changing now, and we do our best to, I think, to shut down Planned Parenthood. We think about abortion and how awful that is, and as a surgical procedure. But I think we also have to be aware that the shift in abortion is taking place, that much of it has gone from surgery now to pills. And people don't think that even a child just conceived is anything at all. And yet here, the Lord of the universe, the one who fills all things, begins as the smallest of the small. And somebody did mention to me, it's kind of an interesting coincidence, maybe it's God's message in a way for us to think about, but tomorrow Hobby Lobby will begin a defense in defense of religious, or the exercise of religious liberty, because the leader of Hobby Lobby, the owner, is a Christian man, and what he does not want to do is to buy health insurance that would pay for pills that would be abortifacients, that is, pills that would cause the abortion of the littlest of the little, of a zygote, of life at its beginning. And you think, oh, well, it's nothing. I don't see anything there. But that doesn't matter whether we can see it with our eyes. We know that every life is sacred because every child is defined. Our humanity is defined by the humanity of Christ. He has come to redeem all of our life, not just those of us who have already been born, but he has come to redeem and sanctify all of human life. So he who lived in the womb of Mary from the very beginning now makes us think of every child in the womb. And when we see a child in the womb, our thoughts immediately go to Christ. And by defending the unborn, by defending the littlest, we also there proclaim Christ crucified, Christ who became one of us. So as you said, I think before you said it beautifully, I think it was a seamless garment, or this belongs together. It's all of one piece.
Dr. Peter Scare is Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Scare, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for the opportunity, Todd.
When we come back on this Monday afternoon, Wendy Wright is going to join us. We're going to talk about a United Nations document on women that, in its words, wants to ensure safe abortion where such services are permitted by national law. We'll take this apart a little bit with Wendy Wright right after this. Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues, etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Christological, creedal, confessional. You're listening to Issues, etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues, etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. lcms.org/stewardship.